Blog Talk Radio.
Augusto Perez, and Shalom. Today we're going to continue on our teaching series on messages from beyond the veil. And we're following some events that are happening right now. There's a lot of things happening right now, folks. I'm going to try to share as much as I can. And then on another program, the next one, I'll try to share something else that the Lord showed me. I just had a very powerful vision of the night. But I'm not going to share that today because it will divert us from the things that I need to share with you concerning the incoming mini solar system. And what is happening right now you know, the Word of God tells us that we should not be afraid, and I want to share this before I give you some of this data, because some of this data could be troubling. But you know, I have been telling you, along with sharing this information that I have been sharing, that that there is something coming. There is a storm coming. And there's a lot of people that just don't want to hear about it. I understand that. They just want the storm to come and blow over and be done with it, and let's get back to business. I understand. Sometimes I don't even want to look at these things because they're very troubling. But as a watchman, as a man of God, that he has placed me here to do a work, to provide the body of Christ with sensitive information and with preparation. First of all, preparation to meet him, to be ready to meet him, preparation of the bride. And then secondly, preparation for what lies ahead. He has put me in that position. That's the work he has given me to do, along with bringing his presence to the people. If someone were to ask me, what is it, Augusto? What is it that is different about you? What makes your ministry different from all other ministries? What is it that makes you distinctive? What is it that separates you? What is it that you're probably known for? I would say, and this goes along with my destiny, I would say the presence of God, the glory of God. Making the glory of God and the presence of God known to mankind, sharing with mankind. I feel his presence every day. And that comes through a relationship. to knowing how to talk to God, to knowing how to minister to Him. And that is my passion. That is my passion. That is the passion of my life, is, first of all, the presence of God, His glory, and secondly, to share it with God's lambs. And so if we have that part down pat, we won't have to worry about any of these other things that are coming upon the earth, okay? I'm just sharing these things with you so that you're not afraid, that your hearts are not filled with anxiety and with fear of the things that are coming upon the earth. The United States of America, the great global superpower, is about to be humbled and chastened for everyone to see. This is going to be a multiple pronged attack on this nation. But how do we as a spiritual people react during perilous times? How do we react during these perilous times? How should God's people react through perilous times? And one of the main questions that I would ask, and you should ask yourself, is what's going to be the most important thing to you in the middle of the storm? Everything is going to come down to that question. What is going to be the most important thing in your life when these things happen? And, you know, if you develop a passion for God, a passion for the presence of God, like I said before, these things will not concern you. It will not bring fear to you. And I am very, very comfortable and at peace in shalom, knowing that God is going to miraculously protect and provide for His people during these very difficult times ahead. He's not going to abandon us. He's not going to abandon us in our greatest time of need. If you have been faithful to Him, if you have been faithful to Him, as the scripture says, you have been faithful to keep His commandments. If you have been faithful to stay in covenant with Him, He will supply us with food, shelter, clothing, protection, guidance, direction. He will lead you how to prepare and live during that time. Now he may not provide us caviar and delicacies, but He's going to sustain us, the necessary food that we need to survive. And Jesus knows, he told His disciples, He told the people that He knows what we need of even before we ask. And that's a fact. We need to learn a lesson from the people of Israel. For 40 years, God was so kind to them, so merciful. They lacked nothing. God supplied angels' food from heaven for them, water from the rock. Tents never deteriorated. Their clothing never deteriorated through the years. Their sandals never wore out. He supernaturally protected them from the sun with a cloud over their camp. Otherwise, the 105 degree or 110 or 120, sometimes it gets that hot there in the desert. It would have killed them. They would not have survived it. The Lord also protected them from the attacks of the enemy with a pillar of fire. And while all the other nations around Israel were in confusion and turmoil during that time, with that time as well, when this happened, it was the passing of the Nibiru mini constellation. It happened back in those days as well. It's in the Colbury Bible. I have shared from it many times. All the signs and all the plagues that came upon Egypt, as you read them, you'll see they're pretty much the same plagues that are mentioned in the book of Revelation. That right there gives us an idea and a confirmation that this same object, this same mini solar system that passed back in those days, is going to pass again right before the coming of the Lord to bring his enemies down, just like the 10 plagues of Egypt brought the enemies of Israel down. Let me say this again, and open your ears, open your spiritual ears that you may hear. The Nibiru system, Planet X system, Herculebus, the brown dwarf, Nemesis, when he came by at that time, he came to destroy the enemies of Israel, the ones that had them in captivity. It did not come to destroy God's people. If you read the scriptures carefully, you'll see that they were preserved through it all. They were preserved through it all. And God supernaturally protected them. And so while God did all of this for Israel during this very difficult time that they had to go through and perilous times, something happened that broke the heart of Moses. And I have preached on this many, many, many times, through the years. It's in the book of Exodus. And I'm not going to get into it full today because that is not where I'm heading. Some other time in the future. But God was so loving and so caring for his nation, for his people. And but yet they forgot about him. They really did not. God's presence is not what they wanted first in their lives. If personal security is your primary concern in the days that we're in right now, if all you can think about is how to survive this economic chaos that's coming, how to survive the shakings, how to survive the attacks, how to survive all of these things that are going to happen to this nation and to other nations in the world, then if that is where you're at, you're going to be headed for a life of misery, boredom, and heartache. Now, God wants us to prepare for what's coming, no doubt about that. But if we have everything that we could possibly need to take care of ourselves through this storm, a plentiful supply of food, a hideaway, everything you need, and you have the wrong focus, it's not going to help you much. You're going to miss it, the whole thing completely. If you want God's provision, if you want God's protection, if you want God's guidance, if you want all of these things, you want, those are the benefits of the covenant. So you want all the benefits of the covenant, but you do not want any of the responsibilities that go along with it. Right? And you do not want, most of all, his presence. You're going to end up like the Israelites. You're going to end up restless, empty, and eventually falling away from him. So what the Lord is trying to tell us is that our focus should be on him, not on these other things that I mentioned. And we need to learn that God's presence is our protection. And we simply are not going to be able to survive what's coming without having this passion for him, for his daily presence. Because these difficult times that are upon us, it's not coming in 20 years or 30 years, people. It's upon us. And I'll share some things with you in a minute or two. But let me just finish this, telling you this, that in those times that are upon us, we are going to have to know that he is with us. Not just by faith, we're going to have to know that we know that we know that he is with us. Moses knew this very, very well, that without God's presence, Israel would never make it through all the things that they had to go through. Israel had corrupted itself, eating, drinking, dancing naked before the golden calves. How much of that do we have going on today? It grieves my spirit. It grieves my heart. How much of that is going on today? All over the world, this country, and all over the world. And God was so angry with their idolatry that he told Moses in Exodus 32, he says, my wrath waxes hot against them and will consume them. This is in Exodus chapter 32. Let's read that. Let's go ahead and read that. In the book of Exodus chapter 32, let's go ahead and read. He says in and the Lord, and let's start in verse 7. And the Lord said to Moses, go get down to your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way I commanded them. And they have made them a molten calf and worshipped it and have sacrificed to it. And said, these are your gods, O Israel, who have brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen these people, and behold, they are stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, leave me alone, that my wrath may grow hot against them, and that I may consume them, and will make out of you a great nation. This is what God told Moses. And then Moses, of course, the great intercessor, he went before God and said, oh, Lord, why does your wrath grow hot against your people when you have brought forth, whom you have brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, only to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and change from this evil against your people. Notice how bold Moses was. Notice how he talked to the Lord. Some people today may say, how dare he talk like that against the Lord? Well, Moses was able to talk like that to the Lord because he was a servant of God and a friend of God. He spoke to him face to face. And then, of course, this is, God spared Israel because of Moses' intercession. He spared them because of God, because of his intercessions. And so, then the Lord told Moses, I'm gonna let you go into the land of milk and honey. I'll let the people go in there. But I won't be with you, he told Moses. Protect you from your enemies. I'll help you defeat your enemies. I'll send an angel before you, but I'm not going to be with you. My presence is not going to be in your midst. And when Moses heard this, he was grieved. And he responded. He pitched his tent outside the Israeli camp. And there he began to intercede before the Lord. And then he said, these people have sinned, a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. And anyway, you know, the great sin of Israel was that they did not care. They turned away from God's presence. And the other sin was, of course, the golden calf. They turned to the gold idols, the golden idols. And I don't have time now to get into, what the Lord taught, what Moses told the Lord. But, this is just a very powerful thing that I wanted to share with you. A lot of people do not understand this. They do not understand this. This is so important. This is so important that the people need to have this, if you will, imprinted in your hearts. And never lose sight of it. Never lose sight of it. And then, of course, if you go to in the following chapter, that's when Moses gets talking to the Lord. There in chapter 33 is when the Lord really talks to Moses as a friend, and Moses talks to the Lord. And that's when Moses basically said, if you don't go with us, if your presence does not go with us, I don't want to go anywhere. In verse 15 there in chapter 33, he says, if your presence go not with me, carry us not from here. For how shall it be known here that I and your people have found grace in your sight? Is it not in that you go with us? So shall we be separated, I and your people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And then the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing that you have spoken, because you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And then he says, behold, I will show you my glory. And this is why we have given that title to all our conferences. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. That's what Moses responded. Show me your glory. And this is so beautiful and so powerful. And so if we have his presence, See, Moses knew the secret. Moses knew this secret. Without God's presence, they were toast. Forget it. Forget it. Even if God promised, okay, go ahead, I'm gonna keep my part of the covenant. Go ahead, I'm going to send my angel and he will fight for you and all that, but I'm not gonna go with you. In other words, I'm not gonna be where I'm not wanted. I'm not gonna be with those that don't want me. My presence is not going to be with those that really don't care about me, only care about what I give them. I'm not going to be with them. I'm not going to be there. Isn't this what has happened with the church today? Isn't this exactly what has happened with the church? Church only interested in God's benefits and blessings, what he can do for them, not in his presence. Oh, my, my. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Which brings us to something I want to share with you today. And that is, there's something happening, folks. There's something happening. And, of course, you know about the the April 8 solar eclipse. And there's a big hoopla about that. And there's a lot going on about that. And I have been talking about this in our other programs, on the mailbag and the End Time News Report, that the federal government has been preparing for this event for 2 years. The April 8 solar eclipse. Now, why is that? Why is that the federal agencies are warning the people to have enough food, water, to be prepared, blah, 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 for, a couple of weeks, to be prepared for disruptions in their cell phones? If you have not watched the movie Leave the World Behind, I recommend you watch it. And by the way, that recent event that happened there in Baltimore, I mean, the jury's still out about whether it is an accident or it was a cyber attack. There's all kinds of theories out there, and this has not been resolved yet completely. But last evening, I was thinking about it. And that movie, Leave the World Behind, there is a scene where there is a big ship that comes ashore on a beach. Yeah. Almost like it lost control. And probably through cyber attacks, because everything else was disrupted. And so I started thinking about that. And I started thinking that probably something like that may have happened. I'm not saying that that is what happened, but it may have happened. Because there's a lot of things that, went wrong. There were no tugboats. Tugboats would have stopped that from happening. But because of the Biden budget, cutting back on all that stuff, there were no tugboats around. And then it was very easy. It was very easy to seize control of something like that, of a vessel. And anyway, that's just a conspiracy, okay? There's no proof right now. But I'm just telling you, when I remember that part of the movie, it made a whole lot of sense to me, because all of these other things are happening too. Now, let's go back. This April 8, there are other anomalies that that are beginning to be connected with that. For one thing, there was a precious sister sent me a video this morning that CERN is going to ramp up their physics starting on the same day of the eclipse, April 8th. Now, what are the chances of that? And why is that happening? And then it says that it's going to be followed by the SP's North Area on April 10, April 8 to April 10, which happens to be right along the same window of time that Aleister Crowley held their high regarded satanic rituals, on that same window. And that is the exact same time that CERN is firing up and going into motion. And that is not a coincidence, folks. That is not a coincidence. And so this, I mean, all of these things, CERN doing this, and why, I mean, why after a long period of time that they were inert, they were inactive, they're going to start it on April 8th? Think about it. It's going to be doing experiments, and we really don't know what's going on with experiments that they're going to be performing. And they're trying, according to this report that I received, they're trying to fold the fabric of time, I guess, the next dimension, and this current one, they're trying to fold them. In other words, they're trying to merge them. They're trying to bring in the two dimensions. Very, very weird stuff, experiments happening with CERN at the same time that the solar eclipse is happening. So why is this not a coincidence? Because this also happens to be on a high satanic holiday that was regarded by Crowley as very, very, very important, Aleister Crowley. And so this is just one of the things that is going on. Another thing, I mean, when you start looking at all these different things, okay, you begin to see a close connection between these events and the occult, the satanic rituals, and what these people, the serpentine people, the seed of the devil, right? The seed of the serpent, right? Kabbalah, Mafia, Khazarians, right? This is going to happen too. NASA, listen to this. NASA has a program that is named after the serpent deity. And they plan to fire several rockets at the upcoming solar eclipse. Yeah, that's right. NASA just announced that it's going to fire three scientific rockets into the moon's shadow on Monday, April 8th, during a partial solar eclipse across North America. Again, what is with this? What is with this? I can't help but think that this has got everything to do with the darkness and with the dark side. What is that rocket got to do with anything? So this space agency project, according to what they're saying, is the atmospheric perturbations around the eclipse path. They're going to investigate how the drop in sunlight and temperature affects the Earth's upper atmosphere. And so APEP, is named after the serpent deity from ancient mythology, Egyptian mythology. And it is a nemesis of the sun deity Ra, according to NASA. How come NASA names all of these projects and things after pagan Egyptian deities? Anyways, so this has been done before, according to the article, in the past has been done to test these things. But it's going to be done now. It's going to be done on April 8th. So that is another thing that is very weird that is happening. And all of this, while all of this is happening, this is not related in the natural, but it is related in the spirit. That a North Carolina megachurch says that they're going to avoid using the word Calvary, resurrection, and blood of Jesus to promote Easter Sunday services. Ain't that wonderful? A North Carolina megachurch, it's a huge church, 25,000 members. It's not going to mention in their Sunday service, celebrating the resurrection of our Messiah. They're not going to mention the word Calvary. They're not going to mention the word resurrection. They're not going to mention the blood of Jesus. So, they, according to what the leaders of the church says, they said they don't want to make anyone feel like an outsider. This is happening at the same time all this other stuff is going on. And then you wonder why these things are happening. When you look at the condition of the church, look at this condition of this church. It's a mega church, mega. 25,000 people, members. It's a woke church. And anyway, people like it. The people love it so, just like in the days of Moses. The people love it so. And so this brings us back to this incoming system, folks. The Nibiru Planet X destroyer mini solar system is incoming. And it's having an impact on our planet, folks. It's having an impact. And so while it is passing over us, this cosmic force is driving through the surface of the planet deep into its interior. And so it's having an effect on our planet's inner core. The sun is heating up. The sun is emitting a lot of solar flares. And if you watch what's happening with the sun and the solar flares, there are images that are being presented by some people like Planet X News that shows that he has captured with special lenses and shows this object or one of the objects, okay? I don't believe it's Nemesis that is being captured there, but one of the objects revolving Nemesis, remember, it's a mini solar system. For those of you that have asked, you have Nemesis, which is the brown dwarf, the sun that never ignited and became a sun. It's called a brown dwarf. But it has an incredibly powerful magnetic pull. And it has seven other orbiting planets around it. One of those planets is called Planet X, Nibiru, Herculebus, which is the one that comes very, very close to Earth every time that this mini solar system passes through our solar system. And so the sun is heating our planet, and it is liquefying the magma, which in turn is, I'm reading some material now from Marshall Masters material, okay? which in turn is altering the world beneath our feet. And so the question that many people ask is this happening somewhere else? And according to the research that Marshall has been doing, the cosmic force, and he's a scientist, he has people that he close to him that are doing this, helping him with this. The cosmic force is affecting all the planets of our solar system, most notably planet Mars, which is now experiencing, he calls them Mars quakes. And so this is happening now, and according to this article, it says that the magnetic poles of our planet are building up to a magnetic pole shift event. Remember, I mentioned that to you in the last couple of programs. Some of you that have missed the programs, you're missing it because you only want to listen, I guess, to a little bit. If it doesn't have what you want to hear, you switch it off. But you're missing very valuable information, which is like a jigsaw puzzle. All the pieces, you put them together, and then you can begin to see a better, more clear picture of what's happening. And so I shared that in some of the past programs that there was going to be a magnetic flip of the poles, not a physical one. And I explained the difference between the two. You can go back and listen to it. And so this is beginning to happen. And what they're saying is that what this is going to do is when our planet's inner core is heated, okay, it's going to cause the inner core to move upward to the north. And they say, the scientists, the people that are experts in this field, he says that the effect, okay, that we're going to feel and we're going to see is like an out-of-balance clothes dryer. You know, when a clothes dryer is out of balance and it begins to shake violently, when the load on our dryer is off, the balance is off, you start hearing all the wobbling and the thumping as it spins. Well, the same is happening, beginning to happen now. And they say that something else also is alarming. The cumulative effect of the cosmic force that occurs once every 12,000 years is that the shape of the planet is changing. The equator is wider, and our planet is being squished into a large egg shape as it expands due to the heating of the magma by the inner core of the planet, which, according to this article, is also altering the rate at which it spins on its axis. So, these things here, okay, according to this report that I'm reading, is very, very interesting. They're predicting a massive earthquake that could unleash an extinction-level event. It could, not it will, it could unleash an extinction-level event for all life on Earth. And they're saying that this is going to probably ground zero for this event is the Mariana Trench. The Mariana Trench there by the Philippine Sea. Okay? By the Philippine Sea. It's called the Mariana Trench. It's off to the east of the Philippines. And that puts the people in the Philippines at great risk. And China and Japan, New Guinea, Australia, all that area there. And all the area of also the Pacific of the United States, the Ring of Fire. And so it is important to note that this cosmic force, they go on to say, this article, and they go on to say that that has, in previous times, has come against our solar system, but it has never caused an extension level event eruption. But he says that this time it could be maybe due to man-made cause. According to this article, it says that due to all the plastics in the oceans, all this plastic and plastic bottles and all these things that they have been trapping now for years, it's now trapping heat, which is reaching the planet's shell via superheated, highly fluidic magma plumes. And so it says that this magma plumes will reach and trigger an explosive volcanic eruption in the region of the Philippine Sea, the Mariana Trench, says Marshall. And so this whole thing is very, very shaking. It's very, very disturbing. And there's something here that I wanted to share that it makes a whole lot of sense to me, because I have seen it happen before. There is a report that there are Asian elephants running for the hills. According to Marshall Masters, and I have heard this also, that he received a report, and they send him pictures of these elephants running for the hills. And in the past, any time that there have been animals running for the mountains, it has symbolized or signified that there was a major, major earthquake tsunami event coming. Now there was a man named Jim Berkland, a former USGS geologist, that he predicted that there was going to be an earthquake with the same degree accuracy as Carlos. Remember the Carlos Serrada, I think it's his name, from South America, and he mentioned the fact that the first sign that people see when there's an event like this getting ready to happen is animals running for high ground. And he said that when herds of large animals like the buffalo began to leave the park rapidly, a significant event would happen shortly after. And so, you know, this is his theory was proven. Of course, it was rejected at first by the scientists and the government, but it has been proven in the past. Remember what has happened in places like the tsunami that hit Asia some years ago. Similar scene was experienced, was seen. Animals running for high cover. And then, of course, that horrific tsunami came inland and killed thousands and thousands of people. Now, according to him, he says that he has a friend in Africa that has spent 30 years working there. And he says that they have seen elephants. All of them are moving to higher grounds. And every single one of them were told that all of their animals were running for the hills, the people there. And then basically he says that his colleagues are warning everyone that some global unprecedented cataclysmic event is about to happen. That the animals do not lie. The animals are running for high ground. They believe that either a global earthquake and or tsunami is coming. He says that they don't know, but that they know that we don't have a lot of time left. And this was sent in March 9th, 2024. And the same thing is happening in Asia. The Asian elephants are running for high ground. And this is happening around the Ring of Fire. And so the Asian elephants are mostly located in India and all that area there of China and, you know, all that region there surrounding China and the Philippines and, you know, Indonesia and all that area is where the Asian elephants inhabit. And so these movements of large herds of large animals, this is a sure sign indicating that something big is going to happen. And so, again, this is happening right now, folks. This is happening at this time, right now. And, of course, Marshall has been predicting that this is Planet X, Nemesis, is going to reach perihelion later this year. And he says that there is now a high probability that a catastrophic submarine eruption will happen between now and when Nemesis reaches perihelion later this year in the region of the Philippine Sea. And it will have consequences for all the nations bordering the Ring of Fire. And so he says that this is a heads up for the people living in Hawaii, along the West Coast, because, you know, as far as Americans are concerned, because the Asian elephants have been gone, making for high ground. And so he's basically telling the people that in these areas, they need to follow the elephants. They need to follow the elephants. Go to high ground. Leave. Right? So anyways, this is just one of the things I wanted to share with you. If I find out anything else regarding this, I will let you know in the upcoming podcasts. You do not want to miss the upcoming podcasts because certainly I'm going to be sharing a lot there, and I'll be sharing also the recent experience that I had. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss it. This is Augusto Perez. I pray and trust that this has been a blessing to you. May God bless you. Until next time, Shalom.